Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now we invite clinical hypnotherapist Fiona Brennan onto the show from time to time to answer your questions. If you have something going on in life you would like advice on, our email is always open, aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Everything remains anonymous, but remember, something you have going on in your life that we end up talking about on air might just help somebody else too. And Fiona Brennan joins me in studio now. Fiona, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire. Delighted to be here as always.
We'll get straight into it because this is an interesting one that I think will impact a lot of people. They say, "Hi, Claire and Fiona, I'm in my mid-30s and single. And for the first time, I'm really questioning my relationship with alcohol. I wouldn't say my drinking is out of control at all. Years ago, I was a binge drinker, but now it's pretty moderate. I mostly do it to fit in and be social, and I don't want to be the boring one. When I choose not to drink, my friends give me a hard time because I think they prefer how I used to be when I drank and I partied more. I know it sounds silly, but I feel left out when I don't drink. Yet when I do, even just a glass or two leaves me feeling awful the next day. It's especially tricky when I go on dates because I use alcohol to ease my nerves, but that tends to attract men who are drinkers, which isn't what I want at all. If I'm being honest, I don't actually like drinking, but I'm not sure how to navigate social situations without it. The idea of giving it up entirely seems extreme, but how it is now isn't really working either. The whole thing takes up a lot of my headspace and is exhausting. Any advice?" And I say that, Fiona, because you do see a massive movement around people being sober curious or leading alcohol-free lives. So there is a real movement towards it. But still the nitty-gritty of saying to your friends or going on dates, nobody really talks about those difficulties as much.
Yeah, there is definitely a movement towards it, which is fantastic. But I think that it's the younger generation, really. So anyone over maybe in your mid-30s, you know, you're still kind of in that place where conditioning is so strong in terms of how the whole ethos and culture of going out, of having fun, is connected to alcohol. So it's almost like a rite of passage for so many that if you like I love fun, I'm a very fun person. And I believed that, if I do say so myself, I believed when I was younger that, you know, essentially that if I wanted to have fun, that equated having, you know, alcohol. And we are, as you say, moving away from that. But I think we need to look at this in terms of this lady is at a crossroads in her life, I would say, and she's kind of waking up in some sense to what she wants, and her voice is starting to be heard. And that can be a hard place to be because you're out of your comfort zone. And essentially, it's about really looking at the root of anything that's going on in your life. It's like, what is the root rather than the symptom? So the symptom here is that she, you know, herself admits, and she's very aware, which is great. She admits that she needs or uses alcohol, first of all, to belong. You know, it's not the alcohol that she actually wants. It's belonging. And I think that's true for so many of us, that we want to be part of a group. We want to be included. And when one of us stands up and says, "Actually, I don't want to do this anymore," it's almost like saying, sort of, you know, not directly, but saying, "I don't want to be part of this group." And that causes a sort of unease, if you like, within the group, because you're breaking the code in some way. And when you question your own relationship with alcohol, then other people are also forced to question theirs. And people don't want that. They want to be able to keep on going as they are.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? When you begin to behave differently, the impact that has on other people, even outside of alcohol, people think that if you make some sort of change, it means that you're judging them and their lives. And you're not. You're really only looking after your own. Is that just a very natural human reaction?
Yeah, absolutely. You are just looking after your own, but it's what it does to other people in terms of them then having to look at their own relationship.
It's a mirror.
It's a mirror, exactly. Yeah. Anyone who is giving this listener a hard time is probably feeling uneasy themselves. So what I would say, and I've been through this myself with friends, is that, and they're all great friends, it's not like they're trying to be difficult or anything at all. But what you need to do really is sort of not take it personally. And that takes a lot of, you know, confidence and self-esteem and being able to say, well, you know, this is just how I see it. And, you know, have fun. There's no judgment. Exactly what you said there, Claire. One of the quotes I love is the idea that, you know, the true essence of a very confident person is being able to dance in public without alcohol. And I think that's so true, that there's a freedom there that, you know, many people associate with alcohol, that I need that to give me that lack of inhibition. But essentially, it's already there, that sort of, you know, innate giddiness and desire for fun is within all of us. And it's something that I think we need to be very clear of, like what's happening, is, especially with this lady here, is that the less that you drink, the more intolerant you become of it. So that's probably what's going on. Her mind is telling her one thing, you know, I need to drink, or I should drink because I want to have fun and I don't want to be boring. But her body is sending a different message, because essentially, like, alcohol is a toxin. So when you decrease that toxin in your system, your body then cannot tolerate it in the same way. So that's what she says here, one or two drinks leaves her feeling really wrecked the next day. So essentially that is her body is really trying to protect her. And you need to listen to your body. You know, your body is there giving you messages all the time. And it sounds like that's what she is doing. You know, she's got clarity, and she's just now at a place where I would say working on her own sense of ease and self-esteem is actually what's going to help her through this. And also being quite practical, you know, in terms of saying, OK, if I'm on the dating app, you know, let's, you know, if I'm organising a date or whatever it might be, just say, let's go for a hike. Let's do something different. Let's not meet in the evening in the pub, because that's going to, you know, it's just going to lead to maybe attracting, as she says, the type of men that she doesn't really want to be going out with.
Now, that did jump out at me, that she said the type, that's not what I want. And yes, in an ideal world, it'd be great to meet somebody as well who didn't drink, because that would help her on this journey.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't discount somebody that still enjoyed drinking, because they may be on a different path to you.
Absolutely.
But I do think choosing dates outside of, you know, alcohol is a good idea.
Yeah. Well, do you know what's so interesting, Claire, is just in, as I was waiting to come into the studio here, I met a lovely man who was another guest on a different show. And he told me that he stopped drinking at 28, right? And he said that was one of the reasons his wife was attracted to him, was that he wasn't a drinker. And he said that he just felt like he just didn't want to go down that road, because it was so everywhere, so conditioning, or so conditioned in our culture. So I thought that was really interesting, to meet someone who doesn't drink and has no, you know, doesn't necessarily mean there's a big problem. It just means that's not what I want for myself. But it's about, you know, making sure that if you are drinking, that, you know, it is something that you're in control of, because it's a substance that you lose control of, you know, or that it can lose our inhibitions and our faculties, and everything can start to go down. So you want to be really aware, and you want to always know that you're still in control.
What about the language we use around these changes that we're making, whether it's, you know, choosing healthier habits? Something popped into my head there about, I made a decision that I wasn't going to get a takeaway coffee anymore unless I had my keep cup with me. So I obviously started doing this around my friends, and I noticed that my friends were sort of apologising if they were getting a disposable cup. And I'm like, you know, you don't need to apologise to me. This is just a decision that I have made. But do we need to be careful sometimes in the language that we use, rather than us saying, so I'm not drinking anymore, I feel amazing, this is happening, that's happening? Do we need to be mindful of that, or should you just shine your light with pride?
Well, I think that, like, we do inspire others, and it's kind of somewhere in the middle, you know, because you're actually helping your friends there maybe to remember their keep cup, you know, so you're actually helping the planet. And so we're very influenced by the people around us. So I would say, yeah, you don't want to be like gloating and sort of, you know, oh, I'm Miss Health Queen, or, you know, that's certainly not it. But there is a place for being able to actually be a positive inspiration to other people. And then you might actually help them to start to shift their habits as well, because that's what happens when you see people around you shifting and changing. You think, oh, well, maybe I could do that too. And I think that's a really positive thing.
Yeah, just be mindful that you're not preaching, that you're just
definitely
talking and telling.
Yes.
When asked, I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important. Yeah.
You mentioned dancing there, and there is a big movement towards ecstatic dancing, which is like a wellness practice. So it's around dancing in an alcohol-free setup. This is something that you tried recently. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. It was so much fun. Something that I often dance anyway, but this seemed like the perfect like combination of a place with, you know, the lights, the music, the DJ, no alcohol, no shoes, no talking and no phones, right? Now, I didn't know about the no talking thing, so I was talking and getting a few looks and I was like, okay. So essentially, yeah, it's really about the freedom to move your body. I mean, we're, you know, we need to move. And that's why people love to dance when they're out. You know, it just gives you that sense of absolute joy and freedom. But we need that. But it's breaking that connection between it has to be with alcohol. It absolutely doesn't. And when you're around other people, that's what I was saying earlier, is like you're influenced by your environment. So when you're around other people who are uninhibited without alcohol, then you start to feel that too. And it has this lovely, you know, domino effect. So yeah. It's good fun. I really recommend it.
Yeah. So look, lean in. You do you. I think that's the advice. And I think it's really good. If you want to get your listener question answered, you can always email us aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Before you go, Fiona, you have an event coming up, The Art of Living.
That's right. Yes, it's on Sunday, May the 18th in the Avon in Wicklow. And it's not about not drinking, but it certainly will help people in terms of that ease and peace within oneself that allows you to be free. So, yes, you can find out about it on my Instagram, The Positive Habit, or my website, The Positive Habit.
Fiona Brennan, thank you so, so much.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk.